61. With Wayne clinging to his back, Wax bounded across the city to the shore. He made one last jump from the top of a nearby skyscraper, one that was half as high as the shore, and launched them toward destiny, mists curling in their passing. There were some balconies over halfway up the tower, just inside a strong coin shot's reach. If the enemy had any measure of foresight, they'd be ready for incursions at those locations. They were still his best choice. The higher he got, the less ground he'd need to cover inside, where he'd likely have to fight for every inch. Wax angled them toward a wide balcony with two broad dark windows looking into the structure. Wax's push, the anchor too far away, was barely enough to get them to it, and they landed lightly amid some small planters.
"Aw," Wayne said, dropping off his back. "We were supposed to go smashing through that glass, all dramatic-like."
"That's an excellent way to get cut to shreds," Wax said, ducking to the side, out of sight of those windows. "I can't heal. You can barely heal. And there's a door right there."
"The Ascendant Warrior did it," Wayne grumbled.
"When?"
"Right before killing the Lord Ruler."
"Since when have you known that sort of thing?"
"It's in a little kid's book that Max and I read sometimes," he said. "Right about my level."
Wax tried the door in the wall to the left of the large windows, but it was locked.
"Assassinating the Lord Ruler?" Wax asked. "Isn't that a little violent for a children's book?"
"Mate," Wayne said, "it ain't violence if it's religion. Don't you know anything?"
"Apparently not," Wax said.
He cut off as floodlights turned on in the room beyond, shining through the windows with blazing intensity. Wax pulled up against the wall, Wayne next to him. He dared a glance inside and saw figures behind and between the lights, their silhouettes raising weapons. Gunfire cracked like thunder, shattering the window.
"Damn," Wayne said as the gunfire tapered off. "Those are soldiers, mate. I came down here to the basin all those years ago because of a cute little case involving train cars what got robbed in a funny way. How in Ruin's own name did I end up getting mixed up with dark gods, armies, bombs destroying cities, and ghosts, Wax? We still ain't talked about the ghosts."
Wax unhooked the big gun from inside his coat where he carried larger weapons while flying.
"Can you keep their attention while I try to flank them?"
Wayne smiled.
"Scary tree? We could do scary tree."
"Do you have enough health stored for scary tree?"
"Mate, I don't need health for scary tree," Wayne said. "Just you watch."
Wax nodded, whipping off his mist coat and handing it to Wayne along with a spare gun, which Wayne took with a shocking level of calm. Usually they needed to throw some bullets in the fire or something to do scary tree. Wayne proceeded to shoot the weapon from beside the window into the room beyond, mist coat tassels waving, persuading everyone he was Wax. Wayne even did some eerily impressive vocal imitation. People fixated upon Wax. They had tunnel vision about fighting the infamous lawman Coinshot. It was even worse these days, where news of his exploits had been exaggerated by the broadsheets. He supposed that finding and using the Bands of Mourning themselves hadn't hurt his reputation. While everyone was distracted by Wayne, Wax unlocked the door with a quick push from the side on the deadbolt. When he'd glanced in through the window earlier, he'd noticed that a wall separated the room with the soldiers from wherever this door led. On cracking it open, he found a small hallway. If he guessed right, their enemies would soon use this hallway to try reaching the balcony. So he slipped inside and pushed himself up to the ceiling directly above the door on the other side. He held there, using nails in the floor. As anticipated, a small group of armed men snuck into the darkened hallway, light from the floodlights in the room beyond spilling in around them, blinding them. In the old days, allomancers, Mistborn in particular, had been regarded like shadows, or the mists themselves, silent, hidden, practically formless. Wax could well understand the origins of those myths as the three soldiers passed underneath him in a tight cluster. He dropped and disposed of them the old-fashioned way, a few coins flung in the air delivered noiselessly into their brains from behind. No crack of gunfire, no shouts of pain, just the thump of bodies on the floor. They'd left the door open, and he peeked into the main room. Those floodlights had been prepared for this and could move on wheels. Likely, they'd had scouts watching for Wax bounding over the buildings below and positioned their ambush where they thought he'd enter. Wayne's distraction was working well. The soldiers had pushed the floodlights into a line across the middle of the room and were arrayed in the gaps between them, shooting aluminum bullets. As Wayne had noted, these people weren't like the common street criminals Wax and Wayne had fought earlier in the day, with their rough clothing, mismatched and rugged gear. These wore red uniforms and carried sleek weapons, modern rifles. They knelt with precise postures, firing carefully. Several were slipping forward along the left side of the room to get an angle on Wayne. Unfortunately for them, they weren't watching their own flanks. And while aluminum guns might not be affected by steel pushes, the enormous floodlights were. Tapping Wake to make himself sturdier, Wax pushed into the room, smashing the lights into one another and crushing the soldiers who had set up between them. He crashed all of this into a mess against the far wall, then decreased his weight and slid across the ground, using nails in the wall behind as an anchor. On the other side of the room, he positioned himself and pushed again, sending some of the wreckage sweeping outward to catch the remaining soldiers, and sending them and the broken lights out the window into the mists. A moment later, Wayne sauntered into the now darker room and tossed Wax his mist coat. "Sorry for the bullet holes." "A few holes won't," Wax said, then noticed, in the weak light of the room's flickering ceiling light, that there had to be at least 16 holes in it, even in some of the tassels. "How did you not get shot?"
"By not being where the bullets was," Wayne said.
Wax threw on the mist coat duster. He had three guns on him, the big gun in his left hand, the steel survivor, aluminum but loaded with normal lead slugs, and Vindication, with aluminum bullets in the ordinary chambers and two haze killer rounds ready for dealing with Metalborn.
"We're really going up the inside," Wayne said.
Wax nodded. They would need proper climbing equipment to scale the outside, even if there weren't set sharpshooters around. Wayne pulled out a dueling cane. Wax met his eyes and shook his head.
"But,"
Wayne said.
"Harmony knew," Wax said softly. "He knew what I'd need to become."
It seemed he had a moment to pause, though more enemies would undoubtedly be on the way. So he reached into his pocket and took out a small sliver of metal. He slipped it into his ear, then carefully, ritualistically, checked Vindication's chambers to be certain there was a round in each. As before, he felt a faint disconnect from the Trellium earring, but he didn't see visions. He felt Telson's attention come on him and heard, faintly, what she was doing, giving orders, sounding frantic. She was above, at the top. He could feel it.
"Waxillium," she said in his mind. "You should have left the city as I suggested."
He clicked to the next chamber of his gun.
"I have come," he said, "to clean up our family's mess."
"Very dramatic," she said.
"You don't make me do this. Don't force it, Telson."
She didn't reply at first. The only sound was that of him clicking chamber to chamber.
"You are still just a frightened child, Waxillium," she said. "All these years later and you still can't take a risk, can't see beyond your own limited mindset. I'm going to become something incredible."
"I'll see you dead first," Wax said softly.
"Wax," she said, "you're 30 floors away from me, and there are hundreds of soldiers from the Hidden Guard between us. My best. Reserved to stop you here."
He snapped Vindication closed.
"Oh, Wax," she said, "you have never understood. You can't beat me. You've never had the vision for that. Whatever you try, I'll always be ahead of you."
He slipped Vindication into a holster, then down an extra vial of steel, one of the ones Harmony had sent him. Finally, he hefted the big gun in one hand. Renette had warned him what it was capable of doing, so he put up his steel bubble, even though the enemy was armed with aluminum.
"Funny, Telson," he said, "that you claim to be the one with vision, when you've always underestimated me. If you'd actually had foresight, you'd have killed me when I first came back to the city 7 years ago."
before you could learn what I was doing?
Before I came to love the things you're seeking to destroy.
He ripped the earring out and tossed it aside, then walked into the hallway and looked inward toward where it ended at a cross hall. Footsteps and calls sounded from beyond a doorway there marked stairs. They went silent a moment later.
Mate, Wayne said, stepping up. You're sure about this?
Wax raised his gun in two hands and strode forward.
Stay behind. Follow once I'm done. But don't engage. It's time for Harmony's sword to do his job.